When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I have a tough time with, or had years prior, much tougher time with that exact thing, where it'd be gray all day.
Yeah.
You know, I'd take a nap, I'd wake up in the dark, I'd wake up twice in the dark. You know, it was just tough, right? So I would mention this to people. I'm like, man, you know, I hear about this like seasonal mood change thing. Like, you know, I hope I don't have that because this just stinks. So one Christmas, I get this gift. My mom gives me a gift, and I open it up, and I'm thinking, you know, and it was like the last gift she gave me. A couple of small things. She gave me this thing, made a big deal out of it. So I take the wrapping off, and I look at it. It's a seasonal depression lamp.
A mood lamp.
Yeah. And I was just like, that made me change myself more than anything. So I was like, my own mother, who's out Christmas shopping for me in this joyful time of year, the thing that she thinks about more than anything is a seasonal depression lamp. So apparently what you do is you plug this thing in the wintertime, you like sit under it. So it gives you, like, fake sun to make you feel better.
Okay.
And I said, you have to return this. I'm never going to use this damn thing. And I need to go and fix myself.
Yeah, point well taken, Mama. Appreciate it. I got it from here, okay? Go get your money back.
Depression lamp.
I appreciate you caring about me so much. To the extent you get me a seasonal depression lamp. I didn't even knew those existed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Sound a little love.
Yeah, it was. It was out of love. And she was very upset that it upset me. You know, she didn't like that. But, you know, I said, and at that point, I got to do something about this.
Wow.
Yeah, it was several years ago. So, anyway.
You better.
You got to be careful about this time of year is what I'm trying to say. Gray, dark all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
It's amazing ugly. The effect the sun has on you.
Yeah, oh, of course.
You know?
Where we get our vitamin D, our vibrancy, all that good stuff, man. And then it gets dark. The good thing, though, even though it's been freezing cold, the sun has been out, albeit just a few hours. It has been out. Now, you can deal with the cold, I would think, a little bit more. The fact that the sun is out and it's not rainy or it's not cloudy and gloomy or even snowing. So that's cool.
Yeah, it is. All right. So you're doing well, though, outside of that?
I'm doing great.
You're doing great.
Can you read lips?
Yeah, you almost said it too.
Great.
You're doing great.
How about you?
I'm doing
gloom and doom.
No,
right?
No, I'm not gloom and doom. I told you. I've done a lot.
I just wanted to check because sometimes you lie.
I'm not gloom and doom at all.
Really?
No, not even.
You're not going to go all John Dorsey on us today.
No. I'm not going to do that.
No, just kick the guys who were in there before you.
Yeah, and when I saw this, and if people missed it, the new general manager of the Browns, the latest smart guy that's going to become dumb, he decided to take the opportunity in an interview to slam Sashi Brown, the previous general manager. And I want to like this. And in any other organization, I probably would like this. Okay, you come in with confidence. Clearly that team is a disaster. And you want to create a new environment, a little bit of an edge, and tell the fans that I'm here to save the day. I don't have a problem with that. However, when you have watched person after person that have come in there with the same expectations as Dorsey. And by the way, these hires that the Browns made, at least in general manager, were never panned when they happened. Like when you go back and think about, I mentioned Mike Lombardi and Joe Banner when those guys were there. Ray Farmer, when Ray Farmer was hired, people couldn't say enough good things about Ray Farmer. That guy hasn't gotten a job since, I don't think. When Sashi Brown, people would say, wow, this is one of the smartest guys at football. You know, he's not really a football guy, but he's going to be a huge asset to them. So every person that takes a job ends up coming in with high expectations and lauded and leaves a total buffoon. So that's why if you're Dorsey, let your actions speak. Do something there first, and then you don't have to talk about it because everybody will know about it.
That's it. I would walk quietly and carry a big stick. And here's a guy that's stepped into a scene that has been so terrible in terms of wins and losses, and yet he's all bombastic. He's poking his chest out as if he can come in there and he can sprinkle some fairy dust and immediately turn this team around. Because if he doesn't, on the heels of these comments, he's going to look so terribly bad. And he be the first one out of the facility because of these comments. He comes in and he wails against the previous staff. And, yes, they deserve criticism. Sashi Brown comes in with the analytics. And I didn't think when it first was announced that they were going to bring in Sashi Brown or anyone that is well-versed in analytics. I didn't think it was applicable to football. And we had Phil Savage on yesterday, voice of the color analyst for the Alabama Crimson Tide, and, of course, the former GM there in Cleveland, and he agrees it's not applicable because of the little nuances of football as compared to basketball and baseball. So that being said, why would you come in? It's well documented that those before you who have sat in that chair for the Cleveland Browns have not done well. We understand that. And they get enough criticism, deservedly so. You don't have to come in and pile on. You just come in, keep your head down, and you turn this thing around. When you turn it around, then you can go out and you can criticize those who were your predecessors. But to come in, a guns are blazing right now, that was amazing. And to say these guys are not players, we don't have good players. Well, I've been on bad teams. We have Jim Morrow yesterday. We had some good defense, but on the other side of the ball, I don't mean to throw my former teammates on the bus, but I will.
Jim Everett was terrible, right?
Yeah. Three pick sixes in one game. We hold the Carolina Panthers 160 yards of total offense and still lose.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that sums that up. He didn't play so well when he was with the Saints, when he was with the Rams, all pro, seems like every season. That being said, I've been on some bad teams, college, pro, and was it necessarily the cause of that was because we had bad players? No. But you bring in a different coach, and we turn things around. That happened at the college game, somewhat at the pro level. So you bring in a different mindset, and even with those same players who have looked horrible previously, you can turn things around. You can set a standard and bring in a philosophy that will bring some success to your organization.
This was the quote from Dorsey, if you missed it yesterday. I'll come straight out with it. The guys who were here before and that system, they didn't get real players. Now, here's another problem with that statement, is the effect that it's going to have on the players that were drafted by that previous regime. Like Myles Garrett. I would feel like if I'm Myles Garrett, I want to hear from John Dorsey. What do you mean? I was a number one overall pick in the draft. What do you mean I'm not a real player?
Right.
And I don't think that that's necessarily accurate that there weren't real players. And they may have two top five picks this year with the way things shake out. And maybe, and I don't know if it would have happened, but maybe if they stuck with Sashi Brown, got two more top five picks, one of those guys is a quarterback, maybe they do find their next guy, and then Dorsey ends up doing it, and he ends up being a genius. You know, I don't know. But there are a lot of players, because the Browns kept trading down, accumulating picks, all that stuff. There are a lot of guys since Sashi Brown came in as the GM that were drafted by Sashi Brown. So does he have to go and talk to every one of those guys now? And the ones he thinks are real players, tell them they're real players, and the other ones not talk to them and basically send a message that we think you stink?
Well, if I'm a player on that team, I'm upset when I hear those comments. You take it personally. There's no other way you can take it other than to say, sit there and say he was talking about me directly. If Sashi Brown brought me in, the other guys before Sashi brought me in, and now this guy's saying we're not real players. Have we played up to our potential? Now you have to have that internal deliberation and be honest with yourself. And also, maybe he was trying to send a message. Maybe he was trying to light a fire underneath these guys. And maybe they need to be more harsh in that facility. And I don't know what Hugh Jackson is saying to this football team from week to week, but now you have someone who's not necessarily coaching them. He's buying the ingredients, but he's not cooking them. Hugh Jackson has to do that and his staff. So maybe you need someone outside of Hugh Jackson that can ruffle a few feathers and this team will take notice and maybe play better. As I said a moment ago, you can bring in a different regime. You can bring in a different coaching philosophy. You can bring in someone that will implement a different strategy and that can uplift your locker room and that can help take your locker room to different heights and also can demoralize your locker room. It depends on your approach. This was a heavy-handed approach. He came out. He was blunt. He didn't mince words. He just came straight right out and said it. He cut Kenny Britt, who signed a 4-year, $32 million deal, and Kenny Britt, who was with the Rams, and then I think he was Tennessee before that. Now he's with the Patriots. They immediately picked him up.
Apparently he was out constantly in Cleveland.
Yeah. And yeah, he didn't exhibit the leadership skills and the character that John Dorsey thought they needed there, which is fine. But the Patriots, they see a fit for him in their organization, and they don't necessarily need him to come in and be a leader. They have enough leader. They have the ultimate leader in Tom Brady. This young team, they need leaders. They need professionals. They need someone that can come in and not just collecting a check, but someone who's going to show these other guys the right way to go about winning in the National Football League. So maybe he will soften his approach the longer he's there, because we've seen this before. Remember Tom Coughlin when he was with Jacksonville they first came into the league? And remember when he was with the Giants?
Yeah, they hated him. And then in 2007, he came in a little softer and they ended up winning the Super Bowl.
There you go. But it's easier to come in and be a force and drop the hammer and then lessen the blow, you know, loosen up a little bit down the road than it is to come in and be all soft and kind and Pollyannish. And then you try to levy, you know, some harsh words on a football team. You got to come in and you got to be forceful and you got to let them know this is how we're going to roll from here on out. And then once that takes hold, then you can pull back a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if this type of motivation works with today's professional athlete. I really don't. If there's, and we talked about motivation with Jim Mora yesterday, and a coach and a general manager, two different things. A coach has more opportunities for motivation than a GM does. But it really comes down to what type of players do you have? You know, and I don't know if that's the definition of real players for Dorsey, but, you know, self-motivated guys that absolutely care everything they do and these things we talked about yesterday. So, I mean, if you're someone who wasn't motivated prior to these comments, are you going to be motivated now by them?
It can work,
G. 0-14, whatever they are,
okay,
0-13?
Well, do you like your job? Okay, do you like your job? Have you just been getting along and just doing the bare minimum? That's the question these guys have to ask themselves. I've been there. We've discussed it. You asked Coach Moore about it yesterday. You know, how do you motivate guys? You know, are you just happy with the lifestyle? You cool with saying, I have that NFL shield on my check? And then you figure out whether or not you love the game and whether or not you can be a better person. And sometimes we need to be poked and prodded. And the same in this locker room. So you're going to find out a lot about those guys who are in there. And I know they've gone through 13, 14 games already, but now you have a new sheriff in town, and he's coming after you hard and heavy. And so you, once again, do that internal deliberation and find out whether or not your job means something to you. And if you're not going to land or stick with the Cleveland Browns, someone else is watching that film as well. So you're auditioning for your new GM, and you're also auditioning for maybe a new employer down the road. So it's I like it to a certain extent. Now, it can go either way. It depends on how sensitive the player is. You can take this as an affront, or you can say, okay, I'm going to show you I'm a damn good player.
Yeah, and I don't know why Hugh Jackson's been lauded throughout this whole process. I mean, you would think that if he's as great of a coach as everybody says, and Dorsey in the same interview was talking up Hugh Jackson like he was Parcells, he's won one game in 2 years. You would think that he'd do better than that, even with that talent. I mean, there's some bad teams out there. I mean, think about the Texans last year with Osweiler. How bad they were offensively. You know, even with DeAndre there, they couldn't do anything. But somehow they made it to the playoffs and won a playoff game.
Excellent defense.
Yeah, okay. Well, they don't have a bad deep. They got a really good run defense in Cleveland. Their pass defense, not so much, but they could stop the run. I just don't understand. I've never seen anybody be that bad. I mean, think about Ben McAdoo. Ben McAdoo went to the playoffs the year before with an 11-5 record and then ended up having this terrible season. There were other factors. But he got fired before the season ended. Hugh Jackson has won one game. Hasn't won one this year. A new GM comes in and starts kissing his butt. What the hell
is
that?
He did. He likes the interaction Jackson and his staff have. They have with the players in practice. And so, you know, he's seen it with his own two eyeballs, and he's been around the block, of course. So he thus far is liking what he's seeing. And Jimmy Haslam, he came out and said that Jackson would be back for 2018.
It's amazing.
More power to you, Hugh.
Yeah, I guess so. If you're able to pull that off.
But he need continuity.
Got to be a sorcerer of some sort.
I understand that they've only won one ball game, but they need some continuity. And going back to the previous regime, look at all the great players at the one position. I shouldn't say great, but they're looking damn good right now. One was up for the MVP before he went down last week against the other one who was playing damn good. Looks like a totally different player this season with a new coach in Sean McVay. So look at the pieces they allowed to get away from them. And was that on Hugh Jackson or was that on the guys in that personnel department who felt like, we don't need to spend a number one pick on a golf or a Wentz? We'll go with Deshaun Kizer, who should have stayed his butt in college.
In the 3 years we've done this show, I think that probably the way things went, we ended up talking more about Cleveland sports than anything else.
No. Well, yeah, because of the Browns and the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
Ineptitude and greatness.
I think that we probably talked more Cleveland sports than any other city.
Talking about Cleveland.
Yeah, we are talking about Cleveland.
You know, Home Alone was filmed in Cleveland.
Yeah, the legendary.
Yes.
Comedy Cleveland. Home Alone, Cleveland.
That's interesting.
Right. Huh. I know. So.
Cleveland.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I think I'm full.
You're
full.
You're
done. Cleveland.
You don't need more Cleveland.
The classic?
Yeah, the classic. Home Alone,
I'm done with Cleveland. Cleveland. Leave me the hell alone. Get out of my life.
Yeah.
Okay, Cleveland?
All right, coming up next.
What?
There's a member of this staff.
Uh-oh.
Who made his television debut last night.
What?
And not only did that person make their television debut last night, they made it with their pet. We'll explain right after this.
This is Kevin from Youngstown, and every day I start my morning with listening to Gio and Jones in the morning.
And thunder at his ass.
What?
It's like William Wallace.
Oh, man.
Remember that scene?
No.
Oh, come on, man. Didn't you see Braveheart?
No. Oh, my goodness, no.
What?
I can't watch stuff like that. I told you I can't watch anything pre-car.
Oh,
can't do it.
I can't want any pre-car.
I can't get into it.
That's right. You don't
anything,
like
anything fantasy or pre-car, I'm out.
You don't like westerns? Like
no.
Unforgiven?
Oh, no.
Great one, huh?
Wow.
You just shot an unarmed
Why?
Well, he should have armed himself.
I mean, it's just so not me. Like westerns and a horse and a saloon and like what?
The saloon is like, you.
Yeah.
The saloon you can identify with.
No.
Yeah, you can. The drink's there.
Yeah, I guess, but I mean, I don't know, like the tumbleweed and the
that's a West Texas tree, man. Tumbleweed.
Like you, I get it. That's where you grew up.
Now, you'd think the same thing for me, right? Like, I like showers, new clothes every day.
Yeah.
If I could time travel, I might want to live, like, in the Wild West. I don't know why I'm so intrigued by it.
Like, you
but
grew up on
spittoons and salon, you know, like the swinging doors in the saloon.
Oh, it's so stupid.
The code
stupid.
Of the
stupid. I could be sheriff.
West.
Where are all the white women at?
Yeah.
No, not even that. You could be the sheriff, the undertaker, the insurance. You all do those things.
Wouldn't get paid a lot, but yeah.
No.
Deadwood, great show.
See, it all depends on where you grew up. You grew up watching Clint Eastwood in westerns, and I grew up watching Woody Allen. Like, that's what.
Whoa.
It's just, I mean, it's true,
juxtapose
though.
Juxtapose that.
It is.
6'3"
Like, that's what.
You know, tall, drank a water. That my man, he'd be my man if I was on the other side.
He's your Tom Hanks.
Yes. And Woody Allen.
Yeah, that's what, I mean, that's what I was watching. That's what I was growing up on. You know?
That was your cowboy.
Westerns.
Woody.
Yeah, I just, I have a tough time with older movies, too.
Oh, I love old movies. Black and white movies. Oh.
When I was growing up. That Turner Classic Movie channel was always on in my house.
Yes.
Oh, I couldn't stand that. You know, 14-year-old me going downstairs to get a snack, and then there'd be some, you know, Clark Gable movie on.
Man.
Well, Mrs. Jenkins, there's no way that I will leave this house without the contract signed. Oh, please!
You know, like,
I do declare.
Yeah, I do declare that your attitude is not sufficient for a particular conversation.
I'm just like, turn it off.
You can learn something from those old movies, man. Come on.
Yeah, how to not make them.
What? Like the old Frank Sinatra movies? No?
I mean, I love anything Sinatra.
All right.
I love anything
there
Sinatra.
You go.
But the way people spoke
Robin
back then,
and the
too,
Seven Hoods.
It wasn't like, that's not, like movies today, because, and I think this is because of the audio equipment, is they can speak like they want to, they normally speak. Like back then they had to project so much, you know? And that's just not how people are. I'm here to mail a letter. Like, people don't do that, you know? Like it's too overacted.
You're watching the wrong black and white movies, man. Cary Grant didn't do that in his old movies.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just not me.
Jack Lemmon didn't do that in the apartment.
We got to get to this thing.
What thing? Mikey B?
Well,
or Petey B?
How'd you know it was Mike?
Well, he's the only one with a pet. Who wants to sit around with Scowling Pete? pick an animal.
Well, I
maybe
mean,
a scorpion.
Scorpion.
Sting his ass. Maybe a smile. Take that.
Uh-oh. You hit a chord.
He's smiling. Oh, he smiles. I see it. No. Hey, man, don't fight the feeling. Smile.
Don't even try.
So, no, he's smiling. Look.
Yeah.
We got a live one.
It's totally fake.
Yep.
Right. So he's just doing that so we move on.
A scorpion reference.
Yeah, right. He's going to pull his voodoo doll out from under the board and stick you in your head again.
I better bring security my last day on the job, right?
Probably.
Coop. Coop. Look out for that one.
All right. So Mikey B is, he loves a couple of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
He loves his wife.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He loves his cat.
Yep.
He loves the Nets.
Yeah.
So all of them really came together yesterday, especially two of them. So there is a segment that the Nets do, the Brooklyn Nets do, during their broadcast called Where's Brooklyn At, right?
Mm. Where Brooklyn At.
Where Brooklyn At.
That's bad English, but we'll go with.
And it's basically people who are home watching the game that tweet pictures and they feature them?
Right. It's basically people go around the world, they're in their Nets garb, and they tweet them out. It's W-E-A-R for Where Brooklyn At.
Right, where Brooklyn At, right? A nice little pun.
During the previous game, was a father and son, like in Finland or something,
okay,
with their Nets gear
all over the place.
Yeah.
All right. So they did a pet edition last night on Where Brooklyn At.
Hmm.
Now, Mikey B was actually at the game.
Right.
So you didn't see this on the broadcast.
First time all year, I'm not watching.
Yeah, first time all year.
Unbelievable.
He's at the game. He does not see this, but I guess your wife was watching the game.
Correct.
And she texted and said, oh, my God, I can't believe it. We've made it.
Cats and Dogs edition of Where Brooklyn At. Do you remember Damari Carroll's cat suit?
Yeah.
Well, it was inspirational. Was that a cat?
Keep going, brother.
Leon Baseglia loved it. And now, little Leon is a huge Carroll fan. 14 months old, lives with his owner, Mike, in Bloomfield, New Jersey. Thank you to Leon and Matt. Notice how owners can look.
Matt! Is this not so Mikey B?
Matt!
Like he gets on television. Ian Eagle is talking about him. His hero is talking about him. He's not there to see it. He's at the game. And then Ian Eagle, who hasn't made a mistake in his career, calls him by the wrong name.
You also miss him go, have you noticed when owners and pets are looking alike as they move on because of the picture of Mike and Leon face to face?
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't know.
So Mike looks like a cat.
Wow.
Thank you to Leon and Matt.
Oh, and you're going to have Ian on next week, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to get
it. We were.
Oh, we were.
I mean, think about this.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, he did get your name right the first time.
Yeah. He got Buseglia right.
And he got Buseglia right.
He said the wrong name the second time, but just
which is
similar
amazing.
Sounding.
I mean, this guy does how many games this time of year?
20 a week.
And he never makes a mistake.
Yeah. We had him come on here to pronounce Giannis Antetokounmpo perfectly, to be the judge of it.
And he calls you Matt.
What's up, Matt?
5 seconds after he calls you Mike.
Yeah.
I mean, this is you.
It really is.
The universe, this is what the universe does to you.
Some good, some bad, but we're all smiling.
At least he got Leon right.
Thank you to Leon and Matt.
Can you play the part where something, is that right after
that? Yeah, it's right after that.
Where he says that owners and pets are looking alike.
You notice how owners can look like their pets after a while?
Wow. I feel for Leon now.
I can tweet out the video.
Yeah, you got it. Brian has to see the picture.
You have
to see the picture of Mike.
That was
going to
be the next
cat.
Question. I want to see the picture.
Just be nice to me, Brian.
no chance.
I've been nice to you for 3 years, dude.
After six.
Why would anything change now?
All right.
3 long years. We've been the best of pals. Now, y'all may want to watch out for that lightning.
Remember when Mike was doing Body by Buseglia, and he tweeted out a salad? Remember that? The picture of the salad, and he was holding the bowl. Do you remember this? And the look on his face? Like, take that look on his face and make it 10 times worse.
Oh.
And you got the picture of him with the cat. It's amazing.
Come on, Mike. Put it out.
I wonder if Leon knows. Like, does Leon know he was on television last night?
I'm glad to be out of the woods, but damn.
Leon's like, you had to call me Leon Buseglia?
Can you just leave it at Leon? Standalone?
Right. I don't know. I'm not claiming that. Meow.
Leon Buseglia.
Oh, he's wearing a Nets jersey, by the way, that picture, Leon.
Well,
you can't put cats in jerseys. They hate that stuff.
Not Leon. He loves it. Cats. Loves his jersey.
No, they don't.
He asked me for it.
Oh, God. All right. Well, go to Gio and Jones on Twitter at Gio and Jones while it still exists. And there will be a video up momentarily of where Brooklyn at. So you can watch Leon Buseglia. Yeah, that was from the other day. Brian just noticed the tweet picture of the green tea bag. He just realized that. Just now.
That was only last week.
I don't go to this Twitter page of Gio Jones. When,
what? Read the date on that.
November 30th.
Still funny.
He just saw it.
I don't go to the page.
Okay.
Yeah, none of that. All right, I will get that scorpion for you.
All right.
Who were you advising? I don't remember now what that was about.
Oh, the Herm Edwards.
Oh, yeah, when I was doing the Herm Edwards impersonation. Do you have the longer version there? Is it sitting right there so we can play it in context?
I don't want no old pictures of penises drawn on people's faces while they're sleeping. Whatever y'all do in that fraternity house.
Yeah, none of that.
So bad at this.
It's amazing that that's where you went. It is amazing you went right there. I'd never heard you say that. Ever.
What happened to you?
Like, of all the curses, all the things, the insults you've said, that never came out of your mouth until that moment on the air. Anyway.
Is that why you left UCLA? No, unfortunate.
I can't take it anymore. Get out.
No.
Every day. Get it out of here.
No.
Come on, Troy Aikman. I know you're the man and everything, but. Oh,
See, that's so mean.
All right.
That was bad.
You got an update?
Don't ask me. Yeah, update. Damn it. Yeah. You get some of your own treatment.
Yeah. So LeBron James won, Lonzo Ball nothing. The King won their first ever meeting, 121-112 in Cleveland last night. LeBron is 59th career triple-double, 25 points, 12 rebounds, 12 assists. His team has won 16-17.
Defensively, we're playing inspired ball. Offensively, moving the ball, sharing the ball, and everyone's in a great rhythm. You know, you're not, doesn't mean everyone shoots the ball extremely well, you know, every night, but everyone's in a good rhythm. Everyone feels a part of what we're trying to do, and we want to continue to build off that.
Lonzo had 13 points and 11 assists in the loss. 36 points for Kevin Durant, the Warriors' eighth straight win, 112-97 over the Mavs. The Pistons snapping their seven-game slot, 105-91 in Atlanta. The T-Wolves handle the Kings, 119-96, 30 points, 14 boards, 5 assists for Karl-Anthony Towns. And the Knicks disappointed Leon Bisseglia, and the Nets won 111-104, but KP leaving early in the third with a sore left knee. A left shoulder injury knocked Trevor Siemian out in the second quarter of Thursday Night Football in Indy, so in came Brock Osweiler.
From the shotgun, Osweiler takes the snap, steps up, takes off, inside the 10, to the end zone, he dives, touchdown, Brock Osweiler.
Kenny Albert on Westwood 1, Osweiler adding a pair of touchdowns through the air as the Broncos scored the final 18 points of the night to beat the Colts 25-13. Siemian will have an MRI today to determine the severity of his injury. Cardinals running back Adrian Peterson reportedly headed to IR with the neck injury he suffered in late November. Oklahoma leading rusher Rodney Anderson will not be charged with sexual assault after accusations from a university employee. West Virginia QB Will Grier says he'll return for his senior season. And on ice, goalie Marc-Andre Fleury faced the Penguins for the first time since Vegas took him in the expansion draft. 24 saves and a 2-1 win on the strip.
You got a little pride in that too, right? You want to do well, you want to win that game, and you know, spread away our teammates, my teammates, all you played tonight, and help me out.
Who is that?
Marc-Andre Fleury.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's me.
Okay.
Hello.
The Lightning got their sixth straight win, 4-1 in Arizona. Nashville blanked Edmonton 4-0, and the Blackhawks dropped the Jets 5-1.
Boys. Mike looks like Jack Nicholson in The Shining in that picture with Leon.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah. It looks so creepy.
Well, that's actually a compliment. Mm. I'm surprised you went there. It didn't go somewhere
movie
else.
Movie reference that transcends race.
Honey, I'm home. Mm-hmm.
How do you really feel about this? Are you really, it's cool, but you're disappointed, or I mean, what are your emotions?
It's cool. It was fun to watch. I wish I ain't got my name right. That would have been nice, but I'll live.
You got it right.
First
once.
World problems here.
Yeah.
On go. TV, big.
It's more about name. Leon than you, dude.
Oh, he's the star.
Yeah.
I get it.
Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If he would have gotten Leon's name wrong, that would have hurt me.
I would not have been here this morning.
Leon, and he got Bisseglia right.
Leon Bisseglia.
I know.
Hoya Jones. I didn't know Hoya had a last name. Okay.
Nobody called me Matt, too. That actually doesn't happen at all, that mistake.
Of course it doesn't. Your name is Mike.
What
is
I'm trying to rationalize it.
Wow. It's there's just certain things that happen to people, you know?
Yeah.
And it's there's no explanation for it. But this thing is just so Mike's life. Like, I remember Rich Ackerman. When he, who works here at CBS Sports Radio, does the weekend football shows, he went to, when Regis was still doing the Regis and Kelly show, he went to that show. It's like filled with women in the audience, right? It's like all women. And they had some like spa day woman experience thing that they were giving away. So it was on in the newsroom at WFAN. So people are like, hey, Axe at this taping, you know? So we're sitting there watching it. And they give away this thing, and Axe won it. And it's like, and so Regis is like reading the raffle number. He's like, 42599. And then Axe like, that's got it. He stands up, and he like won some spa vacation where he got like manicures and facials or something or whatever. All right, there, what's going on there, Chief?
What are you saying this
like,
morning,
you see, like, all these disappointed 50-year-old women that right. were waving, and it's Ack. All right, thank you. All right. So it's just things like that.
Him. Spa treatment.
Just happened to certain people.
For the man who hadn't had a woman since a woman had him.
Wow. All right.
Well, should I do my update? How do I?
Wait. Didn't you already do it?
Yeah, just the usual awkward transition.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Here's a good thing. I'm going to take a beat.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Did you care about that Thursday night football game last night?
Care. That's an interesting word. No. Was it on my radar? Yes. Because I watched it.
Did
at
you?
At least the majority of it. Yeah. Yes.
I don't think I've been, at least this season, less interested in a football game, mm-hmm. period. And there's a couple of reasons. One, just those two teams are just totally out of it and uninteresting and aren't playing good football.
Yep.
Now, that's the major part of it. Also, Thursday night, no fantasy action at all for me in any way, shape, or form, those two teams. So there was that. I had a really busy day.
Yep.
And I was just exhausted at that point. Right. And also, I was way more interested in Knicks-Nets last night than I was this game.
Hmm.
So I don't think there's been a game this season. Actually, I know for a fact there hasn't been a game this season in the NFL I had less interest in than last night's game.
Huh.
There you go.
Interesting.
There you go.
Just Thursday night games?
No.
Or just period, across the board?
Period.
Okay.
Everything. Huh. Period.
I can see that happening.
So
yeah. Not really a lot to circle in terms of a particular guy you want to watch, even if the teams are bad.
Right. Like, who was the best? Well, we actually talked about this the other day. You said Von Miller. You'd want to watch him.
Yeah, want to watch Von.
I guess, yeah. T.Y. Especially, Hilton.
Especially going up against an offensive line like that. Now they've given up 52 sacks on you. Jacoby Brissett, like, take me back to New England. Akeem Tlaib, you always want to watch Akeem Tlaib, man.
Well, yeah,
I mean, come on, he might shank somebody.
That's what we said. That's the only reason why. Now, Jim Irsay was talking about Andrew Luck and said there's nothing ominous in his shoulder, which I don't know what that would necessarily mean. Ominous? I mean, can you look at a shoulder and or any body part and predict the future?
Foreign objects floating around?
Yeah, not ominous. Like, I don't know. I just
nothing.
Don't.
Maybe he was on his meds, and that's why he used the word ominous.
Totally botched that whole thing, man. Totally botched.
You think they botched it? I think they, and we've had this discussion, Andrew Luck wanted to play. Even though he was playing behind a woeful offensive line, he wanted to play with that injury, and he went as long as he could with that injury because this is something that occurred a couple seasons ago, and he's been trying to play through that pain, and you try to eliminate as much of it as you can with cortisone and other methods, and then it got to a point where, hey, we can't kick the can down the road. We've got to take care of this situation right now, and they did. I only way they botched it is by Andrew Luck, because he had a say in this, I would like to believe, and saying, and the trainers, and hey, you can go with this if you can take the pain.
Well, here's another reason why they botched it. You just said their offensive line, how bad it's been, how many sacks. It's been like that for years. He's been getting crushed back there. Now Brissett's dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
Every quarterback that's played behind that Colts offensive line gets laid out every single game.
And it doesn't matter how athletic you are. Andrew Luck is more athletic than people give him credit for. Jacoby Brissett is a true dual threat guy when he wants to be. And yet, he has been sacked 52 times. That is just terrible.
Yeah, those two teams should not play.
And that's where they have fallen short, and they being the Colts' current brass, and then the previous guy, was it Gregson? Why would you not shore up your offensive line when you have your franchise quarterback
in
place?
I don't think it's a matter of we're just not going to do it. I think they made bad decisions. You know, I don't think that they're saying, we'll just throw anybody out there. I just think they couldn't make the right decisions to be able to make sure that they could protect the quarterback.
Well, you protect your prize, and Andrew Luck is your prize. He's your now and your future, and you do nothing to surround him with protection. That just, it's mind-boggling, because football has never changed. Blocking and tackling, and that seems simple, which is not, but you build from within. You build from inside out, and you get your quarterback in place, and then you worry about that offensive line, you worry about your defensive line, because you're going to have to win ball games in the trenches, and yet I can't say that's been the mindset there.
2017 for Giants cornerback, former Ohio State corner, Eli Apple is one he's going to try to forget, but probably won't. He had some personal issues. I know he had a sick family member who was going through surgery. I believe his mom had some issues health-wise. And, of course, this year for the Giants and the secondary especially has been an atrocity. I mean, guys getting suspended, guys not showing up after the bye week. Just a mess. I mean, Janoris Jenkins, you know, he was in the news as well. I mean, Eli Apple's certainly been in the news. Well, he was the one who said culture change that they needed, Eli Apple. So now Eli Apple is getting fined, and it's because he tweeted during the game. So I don't know. Do we know what he tweeted during the game? I was looking through this. He tweeted during a football
game.
He
was inactive. He's been inactive for the last four. He retweeted something from Ohio State.
You can't do that if you're active or inactive. Right. It looks horrible.
I agree. It happened at Texas a couple years ago. They were getting waylaid by TCU, and one of the defensive backs on the team was tweeting during the halftime.
And he was there. It's not like he was somewhere else.
Right.
It's not like he was at home recovering from an injury. He's on the sideline.
Well, you want to know why you're inactive? Because of actions like this.
It's unbelievable. So anyway, this is Eli Apple on his tweet.
Nah, I wasn't any confusion. That was just a mistake by me.
Yeah, so he wasn't confused by the policy. He knew the policy.
Right.
He knew the policy and then still did it. And this is him on getting the fine.
It was in-house, so we don't talk about that.
Don't talk about that.
It was in-house. Well, in-house. Oh, wow.
So it was handled in-house.
So finally, you guys. I mean, because everybody pointed to Eli Apple as the source for that Jacina Anderson report about, you know, McAdoo having lost the team. So now it's in-house. We're not talking about anything.
Well, he'll only tell her.
Yeah, so it's in-house.
It's in-house.
Okay. All right.
Can't tell you guys.
Yeah, everything else, a culture change in the locker room and, you know, probably, we don't know for a fact, being the anonymous source there. Okay. And this is the last one. His teammates are with him right now.
I talked to Brandon Marshall, DRC, always been a good person to talk to because he kind of went through the same thing when he was, like, around my age a little bit. But, you know, I just talked to some of the guys and they helped me out.
Had great influence.
He was like me a little bit.
All right.
Around my age.
DRC, Dominic Rogers Cromartie, who quit the Giants five times this year. And left. Remember that guy? Yeah, him.
Well, he can be an authority on this.
That's the guy.
Yeah.
No, we're talking this year. Not when he was around my age a little bit. No. This year, he was still acting like that.
Who would know better than DRC?
Get rid of all of them. Every single one. Gio and Jones talking to LeBron next. CBS Sports Radio.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.